You never know who might stop by, but it's going to be fun and informative. Four States Live with Shannon Bruffett, 860 AM KKOW Pittsburgh and 97.5 FM Joplin.
And welcome to Four States Live. It is Monday, November the 2nd, rolling up on 810 your time here on this Monday morning. And with us this morning, Doug Hunt, Director of Entrepreneurship. Did I get it right?
You got it perfect.
Boom! It's like six syllables on a Monday morning.
I know. You've had your coffee, haven't you?
Actually, I don't do caffeine, really.
Well,
believe it or not.
Well, then whatever you've got lots of energy, so you should package that and sell it.
Well, I didn't sleep well last night. I don't know about you with the time change, but I was just kind of like...
Oh, it's awful. I hate it. Every fall, I hate it.
Yeah.
And who likes it when it gets dark at 5 o'clock?
I actually, as a former morning show... Well, I still do morning show now, but as a former morning show person, I will tell you this. The ice cream man is my nemesis.
Yeah.
So whenever I was working the TV morning show and I would have to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning... And then you would hear, it's just like, no.
Right.
So I actually kind of enjoy the fall. I can go to sleep at a human hour for me.
Right.
But I couldn't go to sleep last night. So, but anyway, you, Director of Entrepreneurship.
Yes.
Twice in a row.
Yeah, you did it. I know. Are you going to go for a three?
No. That's going to jinx me. So what is your role with the Joplin Area Chamber of Commerce in that position of six syllables?
Right, exactly. Well, the Director of Entrepreneurship with the Joplin Area Chamber of Commerce is a position that is basically the director of the Joseph Newman Innovation Center and then also the Advanced Technology and Training Center of where Joplin Crowder College has their campus, but it's also an entrepreneurial ecosystem, if you will, that we're developing that new companies and startups can have a place where they can collaborate with other startups and new businesses and have a vast resources of all the, you know, that everything that the chamber has to offer. And we've got some exciting news and changes coming for 2021. And we're happy to be doing our part to help new businesses get up and running.
Before we get into some of that upcoming for 2021, I remember before the Innovation Center really had a name. It was called like the Incubation Center type thing.
Because right.
It's where you put those little eggs to hatch and grow.
Absolutely. And it's really needed. I think some of the younger folks that may be starting their businesses, you know, don't take it for granted that these resources are available. Because when I started my business in 1997, there was really nothing like that. You just signed a lease and jumped out there and started doing it. Mm-hmm. And what's beautiful about the incubation centers across the country, and in particular, the Joseph Newman Innovation Center that we're really blessed to have in Joplin, is that it allows new businesses and innovative businesses to start up and to be able to get a hold of their budget quickly, because their monthly lease for their office space is a flat rate. It's below market rates, and it includes so many things like the chamber membership, and no overhead, meaning you get Wi-Fi included as well as all the other amenities. So no utilities, that type of thing. Access to a beautiful facility, two conference rooms to rent out, and it gives you a physical location, mm-hmm. a place to hang your shingle, if you will.
And I think that's been important for a lot of the businesses that have started up there, is having that nice facility too. Because if you end up looking at your budget and saying I can only afford X amount of dollars, and you might end up in a shack somewhere, and you know, appearances are everything too.
Absolutely. It is. And that's from the perspective of the business. But what's also interesting about it is, you know, in looking at it from a completely different perspective, it's a powerful economic development tool for our greater area. And there's a couple reasons for that. First of all, like 90% of all chamber members in Joplin, and it's true across the country at all chambers, is that 90% of the memberships have 10 employees or less. Mm-hmm. So if you think about that, small business is basically the main gear and the engine of our great country. So, and also in the last 3 years, all the data shows that 80% of the new jobs have come from small businesses and startups. I mean, that's powerful. So economic development's basically got a two-sided coin. Yeah, go for the big whales that can come in. We've got
the box stores.
Yeah. Well, manufacturing. Mm-hmm. And the chamber works very hard and diligently, you know, with the MOCAN economic development team.
Yes.
And we've got some exciting news we're about ready to announce, too. And that's on
but
that
it's a
front.
Secret.
I know it has to be. Mm-hmm. You know, developers like it to be quiet. But on the flip side of that coin is somebody that has an idea or a dream or they want to start a business. Odds are that they're going to be successful and hire people. So that's powerful. And so when you take those scary things out of the front end of it, you know, it makes it a lot more palatable for somebody to take that risk. And that risk isn't so overwhelming that it polarizes somebody into not taking mm-hmm. any action.
How do you choose? Because you have limited space, but how do you choose this is going to be a good fit for the Innovation Center or for the Crowder, you know, the Tech Center? How do you choose who's going to be a good fit for that?
That's an excellent question. And it's actually a two-part answer to that. One is, yes, we have limited space. However, part of the good news that we're announcing soon, and we'll have a media event, is that two of the main office spaces we are now converting into actual co-working spaces.
Okay.
So two of the suites that previously held somebody that graduated out of the program, rather than just lease those to another new startup, we are remodeling and reconfiguring those so that it can accommodate 10 or 15 people that just want to come in and have a place to land and get connected and work on their business. So that's an exciting part of it. And then the other criteria is, you know, we've got to make sure that they've done their own due diligence. It's one thing to say, hey, I want to start a business. But if you say that and you pull out a folder and you've done your research, you've done your market research, you clearly articulate what would be an executive summary of a business plan, exactly what it is you want to do, and you've got some quantitative data to back that up, then that means you're probably a pretty good fit for the Innovation Center.
So you can't just like brain fart an idea in the middle of the night and come knocking on your door.
They can come knock on the door. Everybody's welcome at the
sure.
Joplin Area Chamber anytime. But you know, part of my responsibility is to walk through that process with some individuals. And maybe if they have an enlightening moment and they say, hey, I've got more homework to do, then that's part of my job is to coach them through that to get them to that point where they can say, hey, I am at a starting point now.
What do you think makes a good entrepreneur?
Boy, that's a great question. It is.
I'm going to throw you under the bus. It's Monday.
No, I'm actually happy to hear that. Yeah, throw me under the bus. What makes a good entrepreneur is somebody that has a passion, a dream that they will pursue relentlessly, do whatever it takes, and be humble in the process and have laser-focused attitude about what they're doing and have a mission and purpose. So it's interesting. A couple of years ago, I read an article in Inc. magazine, and they were interviewing, I think, like 30 or 40, get this, 30-year-olds that became self-made millionaires by the time they hit 30 years old.
Wow.
What's interesting about that article,
Shane? Where did I go wrong?
I know. I was thinking the same thing. You know, dang kids. No, but I'm happy for them. And what's interesting about that article is that it covered the entire spectrum of what their passion was, whether it's green energy, animals, starting a hedge fund, you know, whatever they wanted to do. And the success stories were amazing. But there was one common denominator that every single one of them had in common with each other, and that is to work in a sense of urgency. So if you're an entrepreneur, the only thing that, you know, 8 to 5 means is that it's two digits on the clock. You have to be able to infuse your passion into your DNA in every aspect of your life and discover that connection between that life-work balance. But it has to be part of you. And if somebody out there has that in them, and they've been thinking about what to do, or maybe they're too busy with, you know, a family or whatever, and they don't know where to start, that's where we come in. Just call us up. Let's sit down and talk through it, and we'll give great advice on what they should do to start a business.
Well, how should people get in contact with you?
They can call the Chamber of Commerce. Just call the office. And then our website is joplincc.com, joplincc.com. And, you know, I'm available if I'm in a meeting or if somebody gets a hold of me, they can, you know, I'll get back to them. And you know, it never hurts. I mean, if somebody has a burning desire and a dream to start a business, it is at least worth their time to take that first step just to come in and have a conversation. And the deal is, you know, it's not like I'm wanting to get, you know, the office space all filled up. If I feel like somebody is not ready to start a business after we sit down with them and look at their idea, their business plan, et cetera, then I'm going to be brutally honest about that because we don't want anybody to fail in business.
Right. So, again, we're going to be talking with Doug, the Director of Entrepreneurship. I went for it three times.
Good
I
for
know.
You. Yay.
Look at that. I might get my tongue working together this morning. But anyway, we're going to be talking more with Doug Hunt here in just a few moments on Four States Live. Stay with us. And welcome back to Four States Live. Poor Doug. Can't figure out the headphones.
Hey, I can pronounce entrepreneurship, though.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And you can, too. You've done it three times. I'm proud of you.
Entrepreneurship. Four. I've done it four times now, Yay. But Doug Hunt is back with us this morning with the Joplin Area Chamber of Commerce. We've been talking about, I mean, obviously, as your title dictates, you work with those startups, those people looking to get into a business on their own. And you've got a couple of different facilities to help people get going. And we were talking about the Joseph Newman Innovation Center, but talk about the one that's just to the east of you guys.
Right. That came about due to some hard work and effort by the Chamber staff and the Chamber Foundation, securing a federal grant that kind of helped us out after the tornado. And that facility is amazing in and of itself, not only because it
has a ginormous kitchen.
It does. And that's a story in and of itself. That is a shared kitchen. Mm-hmm. And so people can, you know, entrepreneurs that say, hey, I want to start a food truck, or hey, I want to, you know, I've gone to culinary school and I know I've got great skills, but I don't have $250,000 or more to start a restaurant. Those individuals can become part of our ecosystem and become a tenant there, share the kitchen, and produce whatever they need to produce and sell it wherever they need to. And that's been successful. Mm-hmm. But that's just one piece of the success story of the ATTC Center, Advanced Technology and Training Center.
I knew it had a name.
I know it did. And it's not like an acronym that you can go back to. It's just letters. But nonetheless, lots of success there. We've got several businesses. One business in there is like growing in a huge way with a national market, and they're a startup. So the fact that they're doing so successful tells us that the system is working and they will eventually graduate out. And that's the concept behind an incubator, is help a business get up and running so that then they can step out and be more, you know.
Leave the nest.
Leave the nest is right. Thank you. I was trying to be politically correct. They leave the nest, but now that they're doing great, you know, beyond that 3 years, then they can build a building or, you know, rent at market rates and so forth. And those businesses that grow and get to that point, it's a multifaceted positive approach to economic development. So now we've got people that are building as they grow their business. They're hiring people, or maybe they're leasing facilities that would otherwise be empty. And maybe 4 or 5 years prior to that, they were just sitting around the kitchen table thinking, hey, can I do this?
Mm-hmm.
And there they are.
What's it like for you in your position to see those businesses leave the nest?
I'm not sure I can put it into words because, you know, I've been an entrepreneur myself for years. And when I started Sunrise Media Group back in 1997, I was terrified. I remember signing the lease with Nick Kanakis for an office space on Main Street, and my hand was shaking. And I was scared. And I launched that business by having three people on a payroll. And, you know, I sacrificed, gave up a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, we struggled for like the first two and a half years. And by the time we got to the third year, I felt like I could take a deep breath and say, we're going to make it. But that was not having any of the resources right. that are available now. So in my position, how it makes me feel, you know, 17 years owning a marketing PR firm, you pour yourself into your clients and their passion and their businesses, and you help them grow. And we had great success stories. that our team all worked on. But now that I'm in this position, it's a beautiful thing because, for one, I don't have to feel like I've got to leverage what I'm giving, you know, by charging for it. And secondly, I've never had this freshman senior mentality where somebody makes it and they say, well, you just figure it out on your own. You know, our job down here is to help each other. And I take that pretty seriously. So if somebody has an idea or a dream for starting a business and it's a viable option and something that can work, then we're going to pour all of our resources into them and coach them and guide them. And it's not just about getting them in the incubators. It's about coaching them, showing them how to communicate, how they need to write their contracts, how do they need to operate off their business plan and treat it like a living document, how to make sure that their books are clean and in order. It's the whole gamut.
You brought up the word viable. Is it a gut feeling for you when somebody comes to you with an idea saying, hey, I want to start my own business? I mean, you brought up having the passion and the drive and willing to do whatever it takes. But is there something about an idea that comes to you when they bring it to you that says, we got to make this work no matter what?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. The simple answer is just yes. And maybe they don't have some tangible pieces that need to come together to make that happen. You know, when I've taught seminars in the past about being efficient in business and so forth, I'm a big believer in what's called the triangle of success. So if you envision a triangle, you got 3 points. And on those points are belief, action, success. So if somebody will just jump in, if they don't have the belief yet, but they take action, they have success. Maybe they have belief, but they don't take action. You know, there's a lot of people that have a good idea, but they're in ready aim mode constantly. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you don't take measurable action on your business, somebody else will get that market share and you won't be successful. And back to that previous question about what makes a good entrepreneur, that's probably one of the biggest pieces of it. You have to own it within your DNA and fight for it.
Go for it.
Yes.
At what point, how do you change someone's mind who might be on the fence, like on inaction or not having the belief? Like, how do you kick him in the pants and get him to go?
You can't.
Okay.
That has to come from within. And that's where it's kind of a gut check. Mm-hmm. That if somebody says, hey, I want to do this, I think it'll be great, but they haven't done what they need to do and they're not that serious about it, I will tell them that. In fact, when I had my marketing company, I had a group come in to me one time and they wanted to start a particular type business. And I'll be vague because, you know, I don't want to shame anybody. But they met with me and they were ready to sign a contract. Like, they had their business checkbook out. Mm-hmm. And after our conversation, like I told everybody, is that we may not be a good fit for each other. Let's discover that, you know, collectively together. And by the time we got to the end of the conversation, it was clear to me that they did not need to be starting their business until they did a few things. And I said that to them, and they got angry because who refuses a check when they're ready to sign a contract? But I've never been in the business of just taking somebody's money to make them fail, because who does that reflect on?
Right, right. It reflects on you.
Yeah, exactly. So at the end of that meeting, I showed them why I was feeling that way and what they needed to do. And they went back and huddled with each other and ultimately decided not to do that, start that business. And honestly, I was doing them a favor, because entrepreneurs have got to have an open heart and be willing to learn. You've got to be able to be coachable. You've got to work on yourself constantly. You have to look at business practices, systems, and processes and put all of those things in play. It's not just about you creating a widget and, oh, I'm my own boss. That's the myth. Because if you're an entrepreneur and you own your own business, I guarantee you, the bank, your spouse, you got bosses. Mm-hmm. Your clients are your bosses.
Right.
And so dispelling some of those myths that people think.
This isn't the shark.
No.
Or whatever that show is.
Shark Tank.
Shark Tank, thank you.
Yeah.
I don't watch TV much.
No, and I've gotten away from that too.
But so I think a lot of people think of starting a business is like that. But those people have put in a lot of time and effort on their own.
So, right. Right. Now, let's look at that in reverse. And that is 3 years after I was 3 years into my business back in 2000, I was at dinner with a grade school friend of mine who's still one of my best friends. And a gentleman came up and said, "Hey, how's it going? I haven't seen him in years." And he said, "Hey, I want to congratulate you on starting your business and being where you're at right now." I said, "Well, thank you very much." And he looked at me in the tone, the look in his face just kind of went a little forlorn. And he said, "I always wanted to start my business, but I was too afraid to do it." And it was like an awkward moment. Uh-huh. And he slapped me on the back and he goes, "Well, you have a good time," or, you know, "good seeing you, Doug," that kind of thing. And that stuck with me. I mean, that really stuck with me, because what I love about what we're doing with the incubation centers, both of them, is that an individual like that, if they are in a state of fear, if they can just find it within themselves, if they have the passion to run their business, to just come in and talk. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk through those things. But for somebody to be polarized by fear and not take action, they won't have success.
And they might have a better chance of success if they have the resources available versus like what you had in the mid-90s.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. I signed that lease way back in the beginning, and I went to Target and bought a $39 folding table and 4 folding chairs, and we went in there, and the office space was empty, but by golly, we had an address. Mm-hmm. And a passion and a desire. I was all excited. And the next month, I got my electric bill. It was $803.
Ooh. Ouch.
So I dealt with it, and it hurt, and it was stinging, just exactly like your reaction. And that's the very thing that is taken out of the equation for people that are wanting to start a new business, that get plugged into our ecosystem that we're building here, because they can budget accordingly.
All right. Well, we're going to be talking more with Doug Hunt again with the Joplin Area Chamber of Commerce here in just a few moments on Four States Live. We're rolling up on 8:37 your time.
Have a question or comment? Just email fourstates@kkowradio.com.
And welcome back. It is Four States Live, Monday, November the 2nd. It is 8:42 your time. Doug Hunt back with us this morning. The Joplin Area Chamber of Commerce. We're talking about getting into business for yourself. And this is something you had done for yourself as well. And it's an amazing feeling.
It is.
Especially when you're successful. I mean, even if you fail or falter, knowing that you have taken the gumption, taken that big step towards the right direction on following your dream. You've got to do it.
Absolutely.
Because you never know unless you try.
And failure is not an end.
Right.
Failure is a learning experience. You mm-hmm. know, that's the beautiful thing about our country, is the people who get second chances in business. You know, we don't have debtor prisons. And, you know, if people will learn from their mistakes or poor decisions, then, you know, you can have a second chance. But you have to hone in on those skills that you have and focus them where you need to.
But in order to get that second chance, you got to take the first chance. And that's where the Joplin Area Chamber of Commerce comes into play. You've got two incubator systems, facilities set up. You've got some exciting news regarding the Joseph Newman Innovation Center. The fact that it's not just going to be, you know, a couple of different office spaces. People can just come there and land as one or two people, right?
Yeah, and let me walk you through that scenario. And we anticipate having the new co-working spaces up and running within 4 weeks, maybe 6 weeks, hopefully sooner. And one of them is going to be dedicated for professional women, because women in business have, you know, their own dynamics, and sometimes there's a lot of collaborative efforts or their demographic that they're going after. So the idea is to have an environment where people can have synergy among themselves and mentor one another. And then the other one is a general co-working space. So a scenario would be somebody, you know, they grab their laptop, they're ready to start the day, and they come in, they've got their security code. If they're after hours, 8 to 5, the door's open, they can come in. If they're going for an open seat that's available wherever, it's like going into a room and say, "Hey, there's an open seat, sit down there," then then we've got all the connectivity for them, everything they need to just sit down with their laptop. If they want a designated workstation that's just to them, then that's $250 a month. If they want just a place that's open, that's $150 a month, and that includes your chamber membership. So they can come in, they can use it however they want, come and go. Let's say they have a prospect they want to meet with and they want more of a private setting rather than a coffee shop, then if they're part of our system and they can simply just schedule a conference room, the conference room on the first floor or the second floor, and have that have their client come in or prospect, and they meet with them in the client in the conference room, and then after that they may be gone for the day. So we're making it as flexible as possible for anybody wanting to start their business.
How important is it to have those more professional type spaces for people to get started up in versus, like you said, meeting in a coffee shop?
It's critical. It's critical. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the data across the country, like I said earlier, you know, in the last 3 years, 80% of the new, brand new jobs that have been created are from startups. Mm-hmm. Just think about that number for a minute. So, yes, we can celebrate, you know, the big hits, and we're working diligently and we'll never give that up. I mean, you know, economic developments or economic development efforts over the last 20, 30 years in this area have been enormously successful. It's exactly why we have the Joplin Webb City Industrial Park. And those are fantastic. But we're moving toward a mobile society. So part of what we're doing is having this ecosystem and the incubators, but also moving in the direction of promoting our areas, low cost of living, you know, great resources, centrally located. So just imagine, if you will, yes, we have a big manufacturing plant that moves in and creates jobs. But also, what if we are able to get, say, 50 people from all over the country because they're mobile and they decide they want to be able to afford a nicer home with mm-hmm. less money because it's, you know, the cost of living's right. so much lower. Then let's say that they work for a major corporation and they're making six figures a year, and we have 50 of those people move into our area. That is going to have a powerful economic impact on our area. And it's happening all over the country.
And I know a lot of these people have got to be on the younger side, too. You mentioned earlier, you know, reading an article about these people being self-made millionaires before the age of 30. How important is it to get these younger folks up and running? And because they are the future of our, they're the future, period. Like, we're not going to be around forever.
It's critically important. But, you know, from my perspective, and yes, I agree with you, there are a lot of younger people that are wanting to start their businesses, but there are countless stories of success of people starting their business at any age. I mean, seriously, when you have the entrepreneurial spirit, or when that entrepreneurial spirit hatches inside of you and becomes alive, it doesn't matter if you're 18 or 98. If you've got a great idea and a dream, pursue it, because your chronological age doesn't mean anything.
And I think sometimes it takes what you're doing currently for a career in order to kind of give you a swift kick in the pants to move you along.
Right. And that's exactly right. Sometimes people are forced into entrepreneurship. And then later, I have yet to meet somebody in my career that was forced into owning a business. Maybe they were downsized or they lost their job and they've got a great skill set and they think, you know what, I'm just going to go out on my own. None of those individuals that became entrepreneurs by that way ever have told me that they regretted it. Mm-hmm. So when you have that level of freedom, probably the best way I can explain it is it's like discovering a set of wings that mm-hmm. you never knew you had. Or that moment in the movie The Wizard of Oz where everything turns into color.
Oh, yes.
It's, and don't get me wrong, it's not all roses. There are times when you're going to be terrified. I can tell you there were times when I was, you know, wide awake at 3:15 in the morning with tears running down the side of my cheeks, and I didn't know how I was going to meet payroll, you know, and in 2 days, because I had a client that owed me money and they're like, well, we'll probably get you paid next week. It's like, well, next week's on the other side of my payroll.
Right.
Those are the types of things that is the mind mind-boggling slugfest. And to be brutally honest, if you go to a networking event and everybody says, "How's business?" Everybody's got their happy face on and says, "We're doing great, but it could be better." And that's the beauty of having an incubator, because those individuals that are struggling with some of those things, they can kind of let their hair down and say, "Hey, man, here's what I'm struggling with," or "Here's what I'm struggling with." Which leads me to another point. We're about ready to launch a program called 1 Million Cups.
You're going to have to hold on to that, because we got to take a commercial break.
And in the business, that's what we call a tease.
Uh-huh, that is. So we've got more coming up. We're going to be talking about 1 Million Cups with Doug Hunt with the Joplin Area Chamber of Commerce. That's coming up next on Four States Live.
You never know who might stop by, but it's going to be fun and informative. Welcome back to Four States Live.
And welcome back. It is 8:54 your time on this Monday, November the 2nd. Doug Hunt back with us this morning, Director of Entrepreneurship. What is that, five?
That's a five.
That's five times I've been able to spit out a six-syllable word this hour. So
yes.
Congratulations to me. But going into the break, you kind of alluded to something called 1 Million Cups.
Yes.
What is that?
Well, it's a program from the Kauffman Foundation, and basically what it is a weekly meeting where new startups and you know, younger businesses can come in and present a situation they're facing or a challenge that they have. And everybody from the community is invited in, business community, and they listen and then offer their advice. So it's a way for businesses to help new established businesses to help new businesses. And there are several chapters across the country. And the chamber, prior to my arrival, they had already had the program up and ready to launch, but that was in March. And we all know what happened in March 2020. So it's been on hold, but the plan is in place. And as soon as we are in a position where we can launch that, we will do it quickly. And that will be a huge successful thing. You know, one thing we've been talking about is like entrepreneurs, and if they want to start their business, another part of my position and what the chamber is moving toward is reaching out into the high schools and start educating and reaching out to kids that may say, "Hey, maybe running a business is good for me." So we'll be looking at things like Business Week. I know down at Neosho, they've got the CAPS program, which is exposing kids to entrepreneurship. And it's no different than like, you know, peewee football, you know.
Right.
I mean, you start watching those kids at a young age and you just grow with them until the point where it's time to be, you know, playing high school football and possibly get a scholarship. We want to do that as well. We want kids to realize, students to realize that there's opportunities out there, and becoming a business owner is one of those as well.
And the thing of it is, especially I think now, thank you 2020, but I think having your own business, so many people are kind of being pushed towards that direction. Now's the time to chase your dreams. Now's the time to follow those dreams.
It is. It is. And one of the renovations we made at the NIC, the Newman Innovation Center, is you walk in the front door and it says, "Work hard, dream big." It's big, bold letters. And that's true.
So how can people get in contact with you if they're interested in taking part in one of the incubation centers? Because you've got two right there, east and west of the Joplin Chamber of Commerce building.
Yeah, and it's really becoming like an entrepreneurial campus.
Yes.
We use the term ecosystem, and we've got ideas and plans to expand that. But there is some great resources, just like the Small Business Development Center out at Missouri Southern. We work very closely with them, and they are a great resource as well. So they can call us at 417-624-4150, and then they can find us online at joplincc.com.
And, of course, always check out the Facebook page as well, because you guys have a lot of stuff going on. And the chamber is a great way, even if you already have your own business and established and you aren't a member of the chamber is a great way to get connected with other businesses and to be able to share those great connections and problem solving skills.
It's visibility is credibility. And so even in my old days of having my marketing firm, the first thing I asked somebody is, "Are you a member of your local chamber?" And if they said no, I said, "You do that first, then come back and talk to me."
Mm-hmm. So that's the way to get things started. Again, Doug Hunt with us this morning. If people are interested in creating their own business, number one, think of the triangle. What are those 3 points of the triangle? What did you say?
Belief, action, results.
You kind of got to hit all three. You can't just like stand in one corner, right?
Right. And as long as you step into it, the other two will happen.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and if you're interested, I encourage you to talk to Doug because he's going to be brutally honest with you because you're looking for good ideas, but you're also looking for the people that have the drive. And because half of it is having the drive to make it happen.
More than half. You're right. It is. Mm-hmm. Passion. Passion goes a long way.
Mm-hmm. So definitely get in touch with Doug, and I appreciate you coming on this morning. Again, I've got you linked up on my fan page. I've tagged you guys, the Joplin Area Chamber of Commerce. So look me up on Facebook, Shannon Bruff at AMI Radio Group. And if you'd like to be on the show, hit me up with an email, fourstates@kkowradio.com. And we've got coming up on Tuesday on Four States Live, Heartland Behavioral Health Services will be here. That's going to be Allison Harder. She's going to be talking about the importance of mental health care in our rural communities. So we've got more coming up here tomorrow. Everybody, make it a great day. Enjoy the sunshine. Join us back here tomorrow morning.
Take us with you wherever you go. 860 AM KKOW Pittsburgh and 97.5 FM K248 DR Joplin.